If you're looking for a church that preaches the Bible today and demonstrates the love of the family of God, we do invite you to the Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, the preaching pastor here at the Escondido URC. Our worship service times on Sundays are 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. Visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Here is our program, Abounding Grace.
Choosing this day whom we will serve. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
You know, think about what's happened in that environment. If you have a Christianity that requires anything today, if you have a Christianity that requires honoring anything, any conviction, counting the cost, what's it labeled as? Legalistic. That is the cop-out. That is the attack. Everything's legalistic. All we want is just to have a casual ride right on through and sit there and not have to give very much. That's our church day. And the reality is that this is having two devastating effects today in the United States. Devastating effects. What do you think those effects are? The devastating effect is it kills a hunger for the Word of God in people. It's gone. There is no hunger for the Word. They're not there for the Word. And what happens when that's gone? You have no witness to the world. You have absolutely no witness to the world. You are a social club. You are like the Lions Club. So Jesus is saying here, I could wish that you are either cold or hot. I've always said to myself, you know, I want people and I want everyone to be hot. But if people want to leave the I want it always said, it's never because they're not getting the pure preaching of the Word of God. That's my only prayer. If somebody wants to leave, you know, that's, they can't say that. And that what's happened is they've been so confronted with the Word of God that it's been so plainly and directly set before them. It's challenged them so personally in the heart that it's convicted them so greatly of their sin, their need for Christ, His grace, His gospel, and it's going to require some real repentance, some real turning, some real change, that they can't remain lukewarm as they sit here. They either got to get hot or get out. You know, I mean, that's what the preaching should be doing. That no one in this building should ever be satisfied with just being a seat warmer. Yeah, they are either coming more to Christ daily, that they are being pushed to Christ, strengthened in the gospel, becoming fervent in desire, or they are going in the opposite direction. And that, beloved, is just what the Bible teaches is happening or should be happening in the ministry of the church today a lot more than it is. And that's what Jesus is saying. I could wish you're either cold, which isn't a good thing, or you're hot. But because you're not either of these as a church, you're just like those waters piped in from Hierapolis. And you know, when I taste that, I want to vomit that out of my mouth. Whoa. How do you preach that? You know, how do you lay the full weight of that statement to a church? I want your ministry taking the people in one of two directions. The ministry should be cutting two ways. Remember, the word cuts two ways. My word won't return void. That was in the context of rejection. Remember? It's going one way or the other. And remember the ministry to Corinth. He said, he had to explain this to Corinth. We are either the fragrance of Christ to those who are what? Being saved, or we are the fragrance of the stench of death to those who aren't being saved. They are going to hate you. They are going to despise the ministry if they're not saved. I want it to be cold or I want it to be hot. You know, I just sit back from that and I think, I hope no one here is just hearing it and is complacent. You know, then maybe it means I'm not doing my job the way I should be. That I'm actually in the preaching, and I don't like this. I didn't sign up for it. I didn't want this. I signed up for it, but I didn't want it. But that I'm actually driving people away who are lukewarm if they're not going to become hot. I didn't say this. The alternative, I mean, think about the alternative. The alternative is to have a ministry that doesn't produce any of that and just allows people to sit there and they're complacent and they're never confronted, they're never challenged, they're never moved to be missionary minded, they're never pushed out of any kind of comfort zone, they get their seat in church every Sunday and that's it. See what he's after? Let me put this positively, because that's the negative side. Let me put it in a positive front here. What does the Lord want from you this morning? He wants wholeheartedness, doesn't he? We tend to think that the church is about us and our comforts. Jesus says, I've got something far different in mind. When he says, I could wish that you are either cold or hot, what he's saying is, I want it to be really clear in your ministries that it's having an effect on the heart of the people. The challenge to the church is what this morning? Think about it. The challenge to the church, and this is beautiful because he does give it positively in the call to repentance when he says, be zealous. The challenge to the church is what? Respond with fervent zeal to the gospel. As we confront, the goal is forgiveness. The goal is not condemnation. The goal of this pulpit is never, ultimately, to just condemn, but to bring about what? Knowing the terror of God, what does Paul say? We persuade men. We want people to repent. We want people to believe. We want people to trust Christ. Let me put it in conventional terms today. I know this is goofy, but I want to say it, because I believe it can be rightly understood. We need to be on fire for Jesus. I know that sounds silly, but it's true, isn't it? There should be a passion in us. There should be a fervor in us. I love what Titus describes. He gave himself for us that he might... Why did Jesus die, you know? He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, that's the church, zealous for good works. Now that word zealous is a very interesting word. It's the same word that Jesus uses here. You know what it means? Burning with zeal. I want the church burning. One pastor said, look at your churches and mark their feebleness. Slow progress of understanding the gospel. The low lives of the bulk of professing Christians, and answer the question. Is the operation of the divine spirit, the Holy Spirit, that comes to transform and quicken everything into its own vivid flaming fire, is it there? Or is the operation of our own selfishness and worldliness crushing down and hemming in the power that ought to sway us? Do you like that? Jesus is saying, I deserve a lot more than that, don't I? I deserve a lot more than a half-hearted approach to coming and being a part of my body. I'm going to vomit that, you know. And so what do you say? A half-hearted, complacent church that only conveniences itself is casually interested in things that are Christian Is that really Christianity? Is it? See what is so distasteful to him? Now, he's not calling us to be fanatics. You know, I guess you got to say that. A fanatic is someone whose commitment has no understanding. He just is out of hand. When our understanding, though, drives our commitment, what does that do? It produces hearts aflamed. It's okay to be excited. I need to say that. It's okay to be excited about the ministry. It's okay to have a fervent desire and burning heart to be here. It's okay to be joyful. It's okay. As a matter of fact, Jesus is saying, that's what I want. What's the real issue here this morning? How could a church that started so well go like this so quickly? The answer to that is seen in what? The church's assessment of itself. See, Jesus assessed it, and then he rehearses, let's consider your own assessment of yourself. What do you think this church thought of itself? Look at verse 17. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Do you know Laodicea was famous for its prosperity? It had amassed wealth unlike any other city. They had a state-of-the-art banking center. They had a state-of-the-art medical school. Their manufacturing was untouched. This city was the richest. It was full of pride. Here's the interesting thing. Remember a few weeks ago I said there was an earthquake that hit the region in about AD 60. It wiped out all these churches and the cities. And they all had to appeal to Caesar for help. Laodicea didn't. They rebuilt their own city themselves with not a dime from Caesar, and they were proud of that. And Tacitus, a Roman historian, said, in the same year, Laodicea, one of the famous Asiatic cities, was laid in ruins by an earthquake, but recovered by its own resources without assistance from ourselves. The city was utterly self-dependent, you know? No revenue. Nothing came in from anywhere else. It did it itself. Had that much money among the citizens. And they loved that. They were full of that. So now transfer that. The church's assessment of itself. Did you catch it? You run around saying you're rich and you're wealthy. This was very similar to a prosperity-minded gospel church, isn't it? That they thought that just because they had everything, that was a sign. They had the best of the best. That was a sign. God's with them. This church thought it was in really good condition by the outward stuff, right? It's like a man building a beautiful baseball field with a wonderful pitching mound. And he's got the best dugouts, the best field, the best players, the best bats. What good is all that without a ball? You know? You have made all of the other stuff ineffective. That is exactly what this was like. You know, what good is a church that is packed with people, has the best programs, the best youth group, the best this, best women's ministry, the best all this stuff, right? And yet is half-hearted in its commitment. Is lukewarm. All that does is build a sense of false confidence, and that breeds lukewarmness. So this is where it all went wrong. You know, this church was rich in complacent in thinking they could function without Jesus. You see why Jesus says you don't realize you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What had they forgotten? They had forgotten how desperately needful they were for Christ's continued ministry of righteousness. There's a reason we come together every week and preach the gospel, because the reality is, in all of your hearts today, you're rather lukewarm. Wasn't that true last week? I mean, that's the reality. I was pretty lukewarm. And what do I need? What do you need? You need to be made inflamed. You need to stir up a very, very lukewarm heart. And Jesus is telling us how that happens. You remember what happened? Remember when Jesus healed that blind man and he healed him, he sent him to the waters. What did the Pharisees say? Remember that? Jesus said, "For judgment I've come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with them heard these words and said, "Are we blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see. Therefore your sin remains." The church had become full of that. In other words, if you are wretched and miserable and poor, what don't you see in spiritual terms? You don't see your continued need for grace. And that's what the church is for. And a half-hearted commitment shows that. If Jesus says you're blind, what have you stopped seeing? Your continued need for forgiveness. Now, what was announced this morning here by the Lord himself? Forgiveness. If you are naked and have forgotten, what does that mean? You are still gone back to fig leaves, right? You've gone back to Adam in the garden trying to cover yourself. You've gone back to a lot of confidence in yourself. And the Lord is saying, you have forgotten, you need my righteousness daily to be covered in that. I spoke with a URC pastor this past week, and he had a couple join the church. And they came before the elder body, and their testimony was so moving to the elders. The elders were in tears. And they said, "Why do you want to join this church? You got everything out there under the sun. You can get anything you want. Why do you want to join this church? It's a smaller URC. It struggles a bit." It's interesting. They said, you know, the pastor said to me, "Everything we value today, you know, especially in our communities, community, friendliness, big buildings, youth program, I mean, everything under the sun, none of that was mentioned." And this couple who's been through the ringer, this couple who's seen it all, come in and they said, "We are in this church for one reason. Because we know every week we're going to get the pure word and Christ in the gospel. And I need that. We need that." You think as a church we can forget that and grow cold in our desires and be here for the wrong reasons and just be comfortable and not see our real spiritual poverty, not have that opened up to our mind? This is what Jesus was teaching in the Sermon on the Mount when he began the whole thing, and he said, "Blessed is what? The poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom." So Jesus calls them to repentance, and he says, "I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see." What is Jesus saying? All of these things speak to what only he can do. He's saying this to a church that thinks everything's in monetary terms, right? Buy what's really important. Come get garments. Come get gold, because you know what? You are filthy. Come and really see. How do you do that? I believe Jesus is playing right off of Isaiah. What did Jesus say? What did the scripture say in Isaiah? "Come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without price." Why do you spend on all these other things? I've got the answer. He's calling them to him. A church. And then I see here he gives a gracious threat in verse 19. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Aren't you thankful for that? That he will bring about in those whom he loves. If you're going lukewarm or you're going cold, you know what he's going to do? He's going to bring you back. And that might not be a pleasant experience. He loves you, he'll bring you to hot. What does he say? be zealous, burn with zeal in my church, and repent. Turn from your lukewarmness. Turn from it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Many take that and say, oh, Jesus is just waiting for you to open the door of your heart. It's not what he's saying. This is playing off of his parable that warned about those who refused to hear the call. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. You are full of zeal in his service, waiting for his second coming, because when he comes, when he knocks, you're going to open right away. You're so excited. Everything you've been laboring for, there he is. Blessed are those servants who, when the master comes, he will find them sleeping, watching. So, you know, satisfaction in us, our positions, our convictions, our righteousness, our great church name, Jesus is repulsed by that stuff. It's taken me a long time to learn that myself. When I started here, I think I was full of pride. We had the only true church in Linden, by the way. Lukewarmness to Christ is like drinking lukewarm coffee. You ever had it? It's disgusting. I want you to go one way or the other. Jesus gives a beautiful promise here. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Do you know what's coming? You know, you're going to sit on a throne. You're going to judge with the saints and Christ this lost world. Years ago, Archbishop Trench went over to look at the Laodicea. You know what he describes? All is perished now. He who removed the candlestick of Ephesus has rejected the Laodiceans out of his mouth. The fragments of aqueducts and theaters spread over a vast extent of the country tell of the former magnificence of this city. But of this famous church, nothing survives. One of the only churches that we don't know where it was. We know where the other ones were. We don't know where this one went. We've considered a lot about the church in the past few months, and I hope we have a whole new understanding of the doctrine of the church. And you got to ask, where do we stand? Where are we headed? Are we as a body? I believe I challenge us because this is what I believe, and this is what we need as a church. This is what any church needs. It takes a whole body working together in unison and in love, with hearts full of zeal and gratitude and service, with people who encourage one another, who build one another up, with a body here that is faithfully laboring and that really cares about the people that come in. Really cares about those who come and the Lord brings to us. You can't build a building without first loving the people God's brought to you. How about that? A glorious day is coming. Be excited. Be excited. Watch what happens. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so humbled this morning. We need this. We need every one of these sermons because we don't want to do any of the things that you hate. We need a lot of grace. And we confess this morning as a church that we are poor, that often we are blind, that we are naked. We come to you this morning to cover our shame, to give us rich garments, to give us strength to be the kind of church that you desire us to be. And Lord, that there would be in this place a whole bunch of people full, every single one, vitally involved, full of burning zeal, who love you and the mission that you've given to us. How could we not? You've given your Son, and we have life through his name. We bless your name and receive, Lord, our thanksgiving for making us a part of your body. We didn't do that. In Jesus' name we pray.
Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a listener-supported program. We invite you to write us. We'd love to hear from you. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, L-Y-N-D-E-N, Washington, 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel continue to richly bless you. If you're looking for a church with biblical worship, Christ-centered preaching, and the love of the family of God, we invite you to the Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. You can visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Our worship service times on Sundays are at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. Here is our program, Abounding Grace.